1510 KFNN.
Right now, 79 degrees at 6:34 in the morning on Business for Breakfast. I'm Ken Morgan, along with Julie Doherty.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, everyone. Nice start to our week and our trading month. The Dow is up 134 points. S&P up 14. The NASDAQ is up 25.
Our pleasure to welcome back to the show Dr. Robert Hockett, who is a professor of law at Cornell University. Good morning, Dr. Hockett.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. You know, today is the birthday of Judge Lance Ito. Remember him, speaking of law?
I do remember him.
Yeah. So it's just coincidental that his birthday is today.
Yeah, a blast from the past.
we were talking about this new thing that Verizon and AT&T are coming up with, along with Barclays and some other folks, to maybe supplant the traditional plastic credit card. And Visa and MasterCard, I'm sure, are going to be concerned about that. But the credit card companies have come up with some new sneaky ways to get money out of us, haven't they?
They have, yeah. This is actually a really interesting time to be talking about this subject, right? Because last year, I guess it was March, about spring of 2009, Congress passed legislation addressing what then were sort of prevalent credit card company abuses, right? And of course, in the last year or so, the companies have come up with some pretty clever ways of accomplishing some of the same aims that they had previously accomplished. But, you know, in ways that, technically speaking, do not violate the new legislation that was passed about a year ago. The fact that this is sort of prominent again right now is interesting from one point of view by dint of that fact. But it's also interesting by dint of another fact, and that is the fact that, of course, just the 21st of last month, Congress passed another enactment, this financial regulatory overhaul. And one of the most prominent features, and maybe, you know, to many people, one of the most celebrated features of that enactment, is that we finally will have instituted a new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that'll be housed in the Fed. Now, the reason that that's significant in the present context is that, first of all, that bureau would be the first time you had a particular agency whose entire bailiwick would be defined by reference practices like those that we're talking about in connection with the credit card companies, right? Another reason that that's significant is, of course, that the fact that the credit card companies are coming up with new ways of accomplishing the same ends that don't, you know, technically violate the new law that was passed last year highlights something very important about finance, which is that financial personnel are usually able to come up with new ways of doing old things very quickly. And it's very hard, therefore, to sort of keep up with them if you're trying to regulate them. And it's particularly difficult for a Congress, right, or for any legislature to keep up with them. And that's one of the reasons why financial regulation is an area of regulatory authority where a great deal of discretion and flexibility are conferred upon the regulators, right? So possibly, you know, one hope for this new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau would be that it would be able to be more sort of proactive and more sort of, you know, on a dime responsive to changes that occur in the industry.
What are some of the subtle changes they're making in the credit card industry?
Well, you mean to sort of get around the 2009
right.
law?
Yes.
Yeah. There are quite a few of them, so maybe I'll just mention a couple right now. One is one of the old abuses had to do with the charging of late fees, right? So the idea was that too many fine print provisions of the contracts between the credit card companies and the credit card holders had to do with or conferred upon the credit card companies the right to impose fees in the event that a payment was made late. But then it was sort of made sort of strangely easy or sort of surprisingly easy for a payment to turn out to be late. For example, a company might say, well, you know, if your payment is due on the 13th of the month, the 13th happens to be on a Sunday, the company happens not to be open or not to take payments on that day, and so, you know, the payment comes to the 14th, the day after, and they say, well, you were a day late, right? One thing that the Act passed in 2009 did was essentially to prohibit that kind of practice, right? Well, one way that the companies are sort of getting around that is to say, okay, well, look, we'll have an office open that can take payments even on Sundays, even if the rest of the offices are closed, right? And even if most people wouldn't think that it would be even possible, right, to make a payment on a Sunday. And if, as long as it's sort of technically possible, right, to make the payment on the Sunday, well, then they might, if you don't make it on that day, then you might well be counted late. Another possibility, another change that they've tried is, well, we can put in place, we can offer, I should say, say to college students or other unwary consumers, low credit limit credit cards, you know, these sort of special deals where we say, okay, well, we'll give you a credit card that will keep you from getting into serious trouble because there will be a limit of $300.
Right,
you know,
okay.
You can't charge any more than that,
sure.
Right? Well, of course, it ends up then, you know, being very easy, you know, inadvertently to go a bit over that limit, and then you can slap these sort of unwary or not terribly sophisticated customers with really heavy overcharge fees.
And Dr. Huggins, isn't this always the case, though, with regulation, with taxation? You're going to try to find a way to get around the rules, and then the rules get modified to try to catch up, and it's certainly not a reason not to regulate.
Right.
Who do you like as head of the Consumer Protection Bureau? Do you have somebody that in mind? There's been a lot of talk about Elizabeth Warren. A certain side of the aisle doesn't really like her.
Sheila Baird.
Yeah, Sheila Baird's already said she doesn't want the job this morning, I guess.
Yeah.
Is anybody you like in particular?
There are actually there are three people I like in particular. I mean, my first choice would be Elizabeth Warren,
mm-hmm.
Basically because this is her brainchild, right?
Right.
I mean, she takes very seriously the need, right, to sort of regulate Wall Street in a manner that renders it more helpful to Main Street, right?
She would rattle some cages.
Yeah, she would rattle some cages, and again, this is sort of her brainchild. And the thing that's really critically to remember at present is that anytime a new agency is created, the first head or the first chair of that agency always ends up, you know, very, very heavily determining the sort of
they set the tone, yeah,
in the future, right? Exactly, and so I think that she would be just sort of the ideal sort of tone setter, particularly given that it was her brainchild.
Mm-hmm.
But as you've noted, right, there's worry that, you know, some people don't like her for precisely that reason, right?
Right.
And there have been, you know, some have said that, well, they're worried that they won't be able to get the 60 votes necessary to confirm an appointment of her
right.
In the Senate.
They don't get 60 votes for anything.
Well, it's pretty hard to get 60 votes for anything anymore, right?
Right.
But sort of a fallback then was, as you mentioned, Sheila Baer, who's popular among Republicans and Democrats
yep.
alike. And I think she would be terrific, but she's already, as you noted, said that she's not interested. Another, a sort of a lesser known candidate who I think would also be just wonderful is Michael Barr. He's actually a friend of mine, so I mean, I guess.
Michael Barr?
Michael Barr in the Treasury Department. I'm somewhat biased. He's a friend of mine. He's an assistant secretary in the Treasury Department. And he's also been ahead of the curve for many years on the importance of consumer protections and the importance of rendering finance, again, helpful to sort of non-fast laners, right, to Main Streeter types. And he taught financial regulation for a number of years over at the University of Michigan Law School. He's worked in the Treasury Department on and off since the Clinton years. And he would be terrific.
Dr. Hockett, our exit music has started, I'm afraid to say.
Oh,
it's,
gosh.
No.
How quickly it comes.
Yes. It certainly does. We always appreciate your visits with us and look forward to the next time. Thank you so
much. All right.
Much.
Thanks, guys.
Dow up 122, S&P up 13, NASDAQ up 21.
That was Dr. Robert Hockett at Cornell University, professor of law there.